We get into trouble. We go the wrong way. We think we're not going to make it. Listen, I would rather be in the will of God than any place on this planet. I would rather be in the will of God than be a billionaire. Do you understand? Listen, the will of God is the safest place on earth.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome. On Love Never Fails this week, Pastor Bill continues his study of the New Testament epistle of James. This next message is titled, Christian Conflict, the Root, the Remedy. Now, Pastor Bill.
James is an incredible book to study because he is the type of guy, a type of believer that gets right in your face with the Word of God. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes we need that in our lives, don't we? I mean, he just shouts it right at you and say, this is the command from God and this is the way you're supposed to be living. Because remember the theme of James. It's all about growing up. It's all about spiritual maturity. And so what's wonderful is that every one of us, me, all of us, we can take these chapters, these 108 verses and 50 some odd commands, and we can apply them to our life. And so we can go from glory to glory to glory. Because when we look at this morning, and the title of the sermon is Christian Conflict, the Root and the Remedy for Conflict. Have you ever had a conflict in your life? Have you ever had desires that lead you in a way you don't want to go? Well, the word desire in our text is a very important word because this morning, you know, that word desire can be good, it can be bad, right? We can desire, Lord, we desire you, we want to worship you, or we can say, I desire this, and God says, but I don't want you to want that. Amen? And so desire, that craving, that longing, again, can be good or bad. And so that's an important word in our text. Remember Eve in the garden. She saw the tree and that it was desirable to make one wise. Amen? That's the wrong kind of desire. David cries out in Psalm 27, and he says, one thing, only one thing will I desire, O Lord, just one thing. His life was consumed. He said, I just want one thing that I've desired of the Lord. And he said, and that is the one thing I will seek. I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In Psalm 37, I think it's David's psalm, he starts out, he says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and feed upon his faithfulness. Do you know that is a wonderful thing to do because he is the faithful God. Amen. And then he says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But the first thing you have to do is trust in the Lord. Do good. Amen. Yes, and feed upon his faithfulness and so forth. It just doesn't mean whatever you want. You know, we're to desire many things. Jesus said, do you desire me? Luke 9:23 said, if you really want me, if you're longing after me, yearning after me, he says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, pursue love. Go after love with all of your heart. Pursue love, and then he uses that word, desire, crave, long for spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Did you know God has a great desire for every person? The Bible tells us that God desires that all men be saved. Every person be saved. That's God's desire, but that's not men's desire. But God says all men be and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, let me set everything up for you this morning. This study is so vital and so just as important back then as it is today, okay? And so sometimes when we read through the Bible, we come through and we say, okay, well, I just finished chapter 3 and now there's chapter 4. But, you know, sometimes the chapters are not really placed in the right area. So, you know that chapters and verses are not inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. Well, if you don't know that, they're not because men put that in there. Hey, and I'm glad they did. It makes it easier for us. Amen. But what you need to understand, there's not a chapter break here. From 3:18, that's the last verse of chapter 3, it flows seamlessly, if you will, right into chapter 4, verse 1, okay? And the reason I say that is because, look at 3:18 with me. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in what? Peace by those who make peace. So remember from last time, those that are truly wise, a wise person, what they do, they apply wisdom that comes from above, which is first pure, then peaceable, which makes them peacemakers. Amen? So they promote peace, they want peace, they create peace, they sow peace with all that they meet. So here in 3:18, James uses the word peace twice, but now when we get to 4:1, he uses war twice. So we move from peace into war in the life of the believer, if you will. So we're going to look at the root of conflict, and then as we get to the end of these verses, we'll find the remedy for it, okay? Beginning in verse 1. He writes and he says, now what causes wars? What causes fights that come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So the root of Christian conflict is right here. And what James does, he begins with a question, and then he gives the answer immediately in the next question there. So we can ask ourselves, well, where do wars come from? Where do battles come from? Where does hostility really come from, he's saying? What causes fights, meaning quarrels, okay? A violent outburst, if you will, against one another. Where did they come from? What is the origin of all that? They certainly don't come from prayer, do they? They certainly don't come from walking in the Spirit, do they? They don't come from Jesus. No, loved one, listen, they don't come from any of those places or from any of those persons. But where do they come from? What's the origin of verse 1 and 2? Well, look what he says in verse 1. What is the cause of wars and fights come from among you? That's a heartbreaking answer. Now, listen very carefully. You're going to have a tendency, as we go through these 10 verses, you're going to have a tendency to say, this is not written to believers. James is written to Jewish believers. Amen? And it says, among us. He's talking about the Christian. He is not talking about unbelievers. And when you get to verse 5, you'll see the words, he even includes himself in verse 5. He says, in us. So this is written to believers. It's written to us. And look at the second part of verse 1 again. He says, do they not come from your what? Desires for pleasure, and look what these pleasures do. They war in your members. So these cravings, these earthly passions. So a believer, I mean, there's a war within. If there's a war within, then there's going to be a war without, is what he's telling us there. So in 1 Peter 2:11, it says this, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, that's who we are, we're resident aliens, if you will. This planet's not our home. He says, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. There's that word. The desires and the cravings and the longings which war against your soul. Now, what I want you to see here is that there is a specific desire that is causing all these problems among the Jewish believers then and even among the Gentile believers, us, today. And look at it. It says, do they not come from your desires for what? Do you have a Bible? Okay. What does it say? Your desires for? I can't hear you. Pleasure, that war, what does it do? It wars in your members. Now, that word pleasure is a very important word. In the Greek, it's hedone. And we get our word, if you will, it's plural, matter of fact, in the Greek, so pleasures. And so we get our word hedonist from this. In other words, hedonism is the philosophy that to live for today, that it's all about pleasure. I don't want any pain. Man, I'm going to go for it. Let the good times roll. Let the happy days begin because I'm going to live it up. I'm going to keep living it up because it's all about pleasure. I don't want anything else. If it feels good, do it. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I had to ask myself this question. Is there really such a thing as a Christian hedonist? I'm glad you're here. We're going to learn something from this. Very important. Where is pleasure really found? It's with God, isn't it? Psalm 16:11, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Forever and ever. You're not going to find joy to the fullest in this world. This world's passing away. And I'll tell you, when you come into the presence of God, you talk about the fullness. I mean, the pleasures that are evermore, they're there. So remember what I told you, that desire, that word desire, that craving, that longing, it can be good and it can be bad. For example, when David writes in Psalm 42:1, he says, "As the deer pants or craves or longs, desires, for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Psalm 63:1, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul longs or thirsts, desires for you, and my flesh longs," that desire again, "for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Now, the word pleasure here, okay, in our scripture this morning is only found three times in the New Testament. And every time you find it in the New Testament, it's never in the positive. It's always in the negative. For example, in the parable of the sower in Luke 8:14, where Jesus was telling us that the cares of this life and the riches and all the other kind of stuff and the pleasures, they choke out the word of God from your heart and it becomes unfruitful. Titus 3:3 told us the same thing before we were saved. He says this, he said, "For we ourselves were," past tense, "were also once foolish." We're not foolish, praise God, anymore, but we once were "disobedient, deceived." And here it comes, "serving various lusts and serving various pleasures." There's that word again. In other words, where we get our word hedonism, okay? So that was before we were saved. That should not be found in the church today. Amen? Amen? Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, was it found back then? Yes, it was found in James and other places, but it's also found today. Remember when Paul, writing the church, the Corinthian believers, now there was a church that was messed up, amen? I mean, they were suing one another. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They were applauding incest that was going on instead of being brokenhearted about it. And Paul, when he writes them in the very first chapter of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "I plead with you, I am begging you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who saved you, the one who died for you, that you be of the same mind, that you be of the same judgment." And he says, "Because I hear that in Chloe's household, there are contentions," or there's that word, "there are horrible quarrels that's happening among you." Later on in chapter 3 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he comes in and says, "I want to teach you, I want to talk to you, but I can't do it." He says, "Because you're not a spiritual people, you are carnal. You're walking after the flesh." And then he says this, he says, "Wherever there is envy and strife and divisions among you," wherever there's fighting and quarreling, "are you not yet carnal?" And here he comes, "behaving like mere men." That means behaving like a person that's not full of the Spirit, behaving like a person that is not even saved. He says, what's wrong? How about the church at Galatia? Galatians 6:15, I believe it is. Paul says, listen, you got to beware, man. If you bite and devour one another, you're going to be consumed by one another. So are there wars in the churches today? Are there divisions and contentions and splits? Listen, on some churches, if you paint that wall wrong color, they're gone. No, you think I'm kidding. They have committees and they didn't get the right color carpet. You know what happens? They shoot the pastor. Yeah, ask Marshall, am I right? Hey. Man, it's bloody. It's a bloody place. No, so when we look at all this, he says, verse 1, where do wars, where do fights come from among you, among the Christians? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure? That war, that's just a war inside, a war within that's going on in your members. You know, we're filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh or wars against the flesh or opposes the flesh and vice versa. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Have we been chosen in him, meaning Jesus, before the foundation of this world? Have we been called out of darkness into his marvelous light? Are we citizens of heaven? Have we been endued with power upon high? Have we been called into fellowship with our Savior, Jesus Christ? And yet, can a church, can a believer get out of fellowship? Absolutely. Get out of fellowship with the Lord. You know, because of these things right here. Listen, a church can become a war zone. That's horrible when that happens. Oh, next Sunday, man, when we get into speaking evil about one another, I was looking at that. Don't speak evil of one another, brethren. And I had a list of what people had sent me and the things that they said. I read that and I went, oh, God, Lord, why would you even bring that back to my attention? That was 12 years ago, you know, last time I taught through James. Man, listen, the church can be a war zone. Believers can live in a war zone. Your home can be a war zone. Do you understand? The root of it is right here, and the remedy will come in just a few minutes. So we look at all this, at war within, I want my own way. See, the word desire, you're going to either long for the Lord, long to do what he wants you to do, and that's what we all want, or sometimes we get longing and desiring for things we shouldn't be in, amen? And so we want our own way, not God's way. Listen, I believe and know, and you know it as well, that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. But whenever a person is a hedonist, or have that war in their heart about pleasures, you know what happens? Nothing is good enough. The blessings of God, I mean, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies, amen? Every blessing, you can't be any more blessed than you're already blessed. But see, whenever we start longing for things outside of God that we shouldn't be, then all of a sudden we get in trouble and we want more and we want this and we want that and so forth. That's why it says, look at verse 2. That's why it says now, that war within, I want that more. Look what he says. You lust, he says, and what? Do not have. In other words, my heart was set on that. I was desiring that. I was longing for that, but I didn't get it. It says, you do not have. So my desires, or their desires, went unfulfilled. Now, what happens? Look what happens with this bunch here when they did not get what they wanted. Look what he says you do. You murder. Can you believe that? If you looked up that word, a Christian murdering someone, think of that. Now listen, if you looked up that word in Greek, you know what it means? It means to intentionally kill someone. Now, did James really, is that what the Holy Spirit, is that what they're saying, that Christians were killing Christians? Is that even possible? Well, those that said they loved God killed Jesus, crucified him. Those who said that they loved God with all of their heart, mind, and soul, who quoted the Shema every day, picked up stones and killed the first martyr of the church, Stephen. Amen? One who called Absalom, the guy with the long hair, he was a hippie. Never mind. The last part's not in Scripture, so I don't want you to quote that. But Absalom, boy, remember, did David, King David, love him? Yes. And when he died, when Absalom died, what did he say? Oh, Absalom broke his heart. Yet Absalom, what did he want? What did he want from his father David, who was on the throne of Israel? He wanted him dead. He was willing to kill his own father to usurp the authority from David and take over the throne. But how about David? Did David kill anyone or have anyone killed? Yes. So is that what he's saying here? That Christians are killing one another? He says, you Jewish Christians, you're killing one another, murdering one another. What a word is that? I think I prefer, if you don't mind, Philip's translation. Let me read it. He says, you are murderously jealous. That's a good word. In other words, you are murderously jealous and covet something that doesn't belong to you. You want more and more and more, but you cannot obtain. You fight. In other words, you quarrel. You war. That's that violent verbal dispute, if you will, the war that's going on within those. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. He says you covet. That word in the Greek is zelo. In other words, it's not only just zealous, it's a boiling zealous, or it's like a burning desire. I have to have it. I want it, and I'm going to get it. I don't care what it costs or whom it hurts. I want it. But their desire, it says, well, you didn't get it. You can't obtain it. I'm going to tell you something. That's a rough bunch to be around. Would you like to be in a church like that? I mean, full of hedonistic sheep? You know what I'm saying? Man, they want something they can't have. They're going to get it any way they can. But you know, we all know that there are times we see other believers. We love them. I'm not beating them up or judging them. But you can see a raging war inside of them. They're mad at God. They're mad at Jesus. They're mad at the church. They're mad at every pastor. They're angry. There's a raging war within them. Why? Well, they didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get what they wanted. And they become passive aggressive. Oh, they may come to church and they may smile, but you can read their eyes. You know, the countenance doesn't lie. Amen? It's very sad. And you may say, well, I'm not a murderer and I'm not going to be included in that bunch. Okay, let's find out. That's what Jesus said about murder. Matthew 5:21. He said, you've heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder. Now, he's talking about the Pharisees and the traditions that they were teaching. They taught that murder was just a physical act. Now, listen to what Jesus says. He says, but you know, he says, whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. He says, but I say to you, he's going to say that murder now is more than a physical act. I say to you that whoever is angry, brooding and simmering, your heart's on fire with rage and it's not being put out. It's not dying out. He says, whoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. So what is Jesus saying? He says, murder is more than a physical act. And he says, murder doesn't begin when you load your 45s. Murder doesn't begin when you go to the ammo store or you go buy that gun and put it on your hip. That's not when it begins. Murder is internal. It's in here. Do you understand? It begins in the heart. Matthew 15:19, Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, do we ever murder anybody that's made in the image of God? Can words murder people? Okay. You know what that means? If you hate your brother? Ooh, that's a tough one. Jesus said this, man, you're just as guilty as a murderer on death row. As a matter of fact, there's probably a lot of Christian serial killers. That went over big. I don't applaud. Come on. I know, but I don't do that. No, listen. 1 John 3:14, listen to what the word says. John says, he who does not love his brother, my brothers and sisters, if I don't love you, it says that you don't love me, you abide in death. What a word is that? Let me finish. And whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Boy, this is a tough word, isn't it? Man, we don't want to be a bunch of murderers. I love what E.M. Bounds says, talking about frustrated desires. He says this, desire is the will, or I could put it this way, desire is your will in action. That's a great word. Desire is your will in action. In other words, I desire to love people, or I don't. Do you see what I'm getting at? I desire to pray, or I desire to blow it off. You see, desire is the will in action. And how sad it is when dissension and fights and quarrels and covetousness, man, they can destroy a home, but they can also destroy the body of Christ. And look what he says here. And you do not have because you do not ask, meaning you don't ask God for it. This group right here, they could have turned all of their frustration because of unfulfilled desires into fruitfulness had they only prayed, amen? But they didn't pray the right way because, see, listen, believers like that, they don't really pray. They don't really pray at all. But when they do pray, look what happens in verse 3. So you ask and do not receive because you ask what? You ask amiss. Evil motives are wrong motives that you may spend it on your pleasures. There's that word again. So you have hedonistic prayers coming from a hedonistic heart, if you will, and they ask amiss. I love that word where it says they spend it. That is a very important word. In other words, they spent their prayers. The word means waste or squander. They wasted their prayers. They squandered their prayers right there on their desires for pleasures. The same word where we get the word hedonism, okay?
Well, our time is up for today, but we encourage you to tune in tomorrow for the conclusion to Pastor's message, amen? And we want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. We appreciate you so much. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.